The time will come when we shall go traveling in space among the stars. When we do so, we shall see many strange things. We shall travel big distances. We shall meet objects which surpass our imagination. And we shall find out facts by direct experience about which we know at present only from theory, from the theory of relativity, which is due to Albert Einstein, whom I think some people call Einstein. I want to talk to you about this because the theory of relativity is to space travel what geography is to the exploration of the globe. Listen carefully, because Einstein's theory contradicts common sense. It will sound to you crazy. And if it does not sound to you crazy, that is a sure sign that you have not started to understand what we are talking about. What Einstein's theory says is that the world is a four-dimensional thing. It has four dimensions, three dimensions of space, and one dimension of time. Now you say, I have always known that. The essential part in Einstein's theory is that you cannot talk about space and time separately. You have to talk about them together, and when you do so, and when you look carefully, you see certain details which you have never dreamt of, and which in fact, as I said before, seem to contradict, actually do contradict common sense. But common sense is wrong, and Einstein is right. Let us start by thinking about something really simple, just two dimensions. Take a piece of paper and put two dots on it. Or take the top of the table and place your two index fingers on the top of the table. Now you can say the first dot is to the right of the second dot. Or, if you look at it from another direction, you may say no. The first dot is to the left of the second dot. And you are perfectly familiar with the idea that this all is in your point of view, that this is relative. It depends on the question whether you look at the two dots or at your two fingers from one side or from another side, from another direction. There is, however, something connected with the two dots which remains the same, no matter how you look at it. This is their distance. You can easily calculate that distance if you know how far to the right the one dot is from the other and how far behind the one dot is from the other. How to make that calculation has been found out a few thousand years ago, first by the Babylonians and then later by Pythagoras. And it is well known as the theorem of Pythagoras. What you do is this. You take the distance between the two points, right and left. Let us say the first point is 5 inches to the right of the second. Then take the distance, how far the first point is behind the second. Let us say it is 10 inches behind the second. Then you will have to multiply 5 by 5, giving 25. You have to multiply 10 by 10, giving 100. And you have to add these two quantities, giving 125. And then you have to do something which is really very difficult to do. You have to find a number which, when multiplied by itself, will give 125. This is not quite easy. It can be done. And it is a number which is somewhere between 11 and 12. And that number is the distance between the two points, and it stays the same, no matter whether you look at your two points from one direction or from another. Well, there was a time, a few hundred years ago, when in the minds of most people the Earth was flat. And for most of our movements, we could think of movements right and left, forward and backward. Of course, you could also move up and down, which was a third dimension, but up and down seemed a little bit different. It had some sort of an absolute meaning. And then came the discovery that the Earth was round, and people in Australia were walking upside down when they were in Australia. This seemed absurd. By now, it no longer seems absurd. We got used to it. And we got used to it for a number of reasons. We got used to it because we have models. We can make globes, spheres, which we see even before we learn how to read and write, and get used to the idea that the Earth is round. We furthermore get the idea that up and down is really not so different from right and left and backward and forward, and we can get that idea when we travel in an airplane and when the airplane banks. You look out at the window and the Earth seems to be aslant, because for your feeling, whatever pulls you in a direction, whatever makes a object fall, determines the direction of down. For you, down seems to be different than simply the direction toward the Earth. It is the direction toward the floor of the airplane, the direction in which the air pressure is supporting the plane, is supporting the wings of your plane. That for you locally seems down. And if you begin to get that feeling, it will be very easy to visualize, as we all know, that these three directions, forward and backward, right and left, up and down, are really three things which can be interchanged, but there is always one thing that remains the same, whether you just think of two directions or three, and that is the distance between two points, which you can calculate from the three numbers, the differences right and left, the difference back and forward, and the difference up and down. You multiply each of these numbers by itself, add the three numbers, and then try to find a number which, when multiplied by itself, gives the same result. And that is the distance. Now, just as we can move from two dimensions to three, from a plane to the space, so in Einstein's thinking, we can move to the fourth dimension, and that will be what we call the world. A point in the world is determined by four statements. Where it is in the right and left sense, where it is in the forward and backward sense, where it is in the up and down sense, and when did this particular thing happen. We talk about an event, a world event, which is determined by these four statements. Now, if you have a world event, then, or rather, if you have two world events, then there is something like a world distance between these two world events. And this world distance you can calculate by taking the three distances about which we talked before, multiply each of them by itself, and then take the time difference between the two events, when they happened, multiply this time difference by the velocity of light, a very big number, and multiply the quantity which you get this way by itself. Now you have three quantities which you multiplied by themselves, and a fourth quantity which you have just calculated with the help of a time difference. And now you do something surprising. this last, first quantity, you subtract from the previous three quantities. And then you look for something which, when multiplied by itself, will give this number. And that is the world distance. Now, I am sure I have thoroughly confused you. But I will tell you why I talked about this distance and what follows from it. Because now comes the really great surprise. In Einstein's theory of relativity, the statement which is completely true, without any ambiguity whatsoever, and which yet is very, very hard to believe. Take two world events and imagine that they happen at the same time, but not at the same place. Then it is possible that you will find an other observer who will say, no, these two events did not happen at the same time, but the one happened a little sooner and the other a little later. The question of earlier or later is dependent on the observer, just as the question right and left depends on the observer. But lest there be complete confusion, there is something which remains the same for all observers, and that is the distance between two world events. Now, if you have followed carefully, or even if you haven't, you will be able to see what use we can make of this strange world distance. There are certain kind of world distances which behave like two events, the one happening definitely sooner and the other happening definitely later. For instance, if I now say A and later say B, then there is no doubt that B has been said later than A. The same person has said it. It has been said, in fact, at the same place. And under those conditions, there is never any doubt that the one follows the other. The space distance is zero. And the fourth thing, which we made out of time, has been subtracted. So we have, as a result of our addition and subtraction, something that is strange. We had subtracted something from zero, we got something negative, and that is what is called a time-like distance. There is a time difference between two events, and no doubt about it. Also, if I am talking to you here and now, and then I have an appointment the day after tomorrow, let us say 100 miles from here, then also there is no doubt that this appointment will come later than my present talk, because I actually can make it from here to there. And I can even imagine, by saying here is where I am, I can imagine that the two things, my talk now and my appointment a little later, have happened at the same place. However, I can imagine things happening quite differently. Let's think about an event here and now and something that happens half a second later in the moon. Is that second event in fact later? Well, light would take 1 second to get from here to the moon. And one consequence that Einstein's theory leads us to is this. Light is the fastest thing in the world. Nobody can catch up with it, and certainly nobody can travel faster than light. It might help you to remember this a little better if I tell you a limerick. It goes like this. There was once a lady called Bright who traveled much faster than light. She started one day on her relative way and came back on the previous night. What this limerick is telling you is, If you imagine that somebody can travel faster than light, then you put complete confusion into the ideas of sooner or later. If two events happen so close together in time that light cannot get from here to there in the time difference, then you might just as well think that the two events have happened simultaneously, and indeed there will be some observers to whom the two events will seem to differ only in the space and not in the time sequence of events. What the distance of two events is and what their time difference is will depend on the observer, just as the question of right and left and forward and backward depends on the observer. But there are some things which do not depend on the observer, and among others, these things are whether one can get from one event to the other, or whether two events are so close together in time that for some observers they may happen even at the same time. Now you may say, who cares of such very small time differences, like the time that is taken by the light to travel from here to there? Light can go around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Surely such small time differences are of no interest. But they are. When you go traveling in space, then we are talking about distances which even light cannot cover, except in years or in centuries or in millions of years. And here I will tell you one very strange fact, and it is a fact. I have told you that from here to the next big assembly of stars, to the next spiral nebula, light takes 1 million years or a little more. Yet I will tell you that a space traveler can get there in his lifetime. And the reason is that what seems like 1 million years to one person does not necessarily seem like 1 million years to another one if he only travels fast enough. If a man would travel from here to Andromeda, for an observer on Earth, he will seem to take more than 1 million years. When he goes to Andromeda, returns and comes back, he will find that the Earth has gotten older by more than 2 million years. Yet, he might do it all in his own lifetime. This is how strange the theory is. Now, I hope that you carry away from this discussion the conviction, I do not understand this. I also hope that you will carry away the feeling there might be something behind it, and it's startling enough, so that I will try to begin to square numbers and put them together and read up on it and begin to understand it. And I want to assure you of one thing. If you do so, you will find that the reason for the difficulty of the theory is not that it is complicated. It is that it contradicts your previous ideas. That is why you reject these ideas and why the ideas seem difficult to you. In actual fact, they are extremely simple. Let me tell you a little story. Albert Einstein, as you probably know, was not only a great physicist, he was also a violinist. And he used to play duets with the great pianist Schnabel. Well, even Einstein makes mistakes, particularly when it isn't in physics. And the story goes that Schnabel once took occasion to say, "Now look, Albert, this is simple. You just count, can't you count? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, just like that, can't you?" Well, there is one unfortunate thing about this story. It never happened. However, I would say that it is nevertheless true. And in repeating a true story, one should not be overly influenced by the accidents of the actual factual circumstances. The truth of the story is this, that Einstein liked simplicity, and he made a very simple theory. And the truth of the story is also this, that not to understand relativity, not to understand science, is something like not to understand music. And you begin to understand science or music when you begin to find out that you can love science or music, that you can begin to get really interested in ideas, in puzzles, in surprises. And then you will find that science is much more interesting than science fiction. And what is wrong with science fiction is that it is much too unimaginative.